Welcome back to The Digital Dive, a conversation about tech. My name is Jacqueline. I'm one of your hosts.
And my name is Darsh. I am your other host. This week, we have a jam-packed episode. We're talking about Apple's new event that is going to be happening this coming week, podcasts, and a ton of new stuff that are going to be affecting how we look at podcasts moving forward, some HTC Vive Pro leaks, as well as Twitter warning its users of heated and controversial Twitter threads. Interesting.
It's going to be a great episode. So before we dive in, I want to say that if you have listened to an episode before and you want to listen to more, make sure to hit the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and make sure that you get notified of every new episode, and it also helps us get the episodes out to more people. Thank you so much. Let's roll the intro.
So Apple announced an October 18th event, which is very much rumored towards and we hope is going to be focused around the new MacBooks. What are your thoughts? What do you think we're going to get? Give me the breakdown.
Okay, so the invite is really cool for everyone wondering. It kind of looks like, a lot of people have been saying it looks like a graphic alluding to the M1 chip, which I'm pretty aligned with because it seems like this is going to be an event about new MacBooks, Mac Mini, and AirPods. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed that happens. The one word tease for the invite is unleashed. People are kind of expecting that it's going to be maybe mini LED tech or a 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pro model. And then also the M1X chip. I think mainly it's going to be an internal update, but then like some minor design stuff and possibly thinner bezels as well, which could allude to the screen sizes. I don't know, Darsh, what do you think?
Okay, so for one, I definitely think this is going to be about the M1X. It's definitely very focused on speed. So when I initially look at the actual graphic for the invitation, you see that it looks as if you're like going into hyperspeed. Mm-hmm. If you look, ever watched Star Wars, Star Trek, or any movie about space, right? Like that animation of just lights blurring by you as you're like going into an abyss, like a black hole almost type thing. It's very, very reminiscent of going into hyperspeed. Speed. It's very reminiscent of that. It's very vocal and trying to show that it is going to be about speed, which makes a lot of sense because we are expecting the two new MacBooks, as Jacqueline just mentioned, as well as a higher end Mac Mini and potentially a third pair of AirPods, like a third generation. And I'm actually very excited for the AirPods out of everything there that's coming out. Like, I think the MacBooks are going to exceed expectation. A higher end Mac Mini will be absolutely fantastic. I know that's something that I've been wanting for a very long time because I've been considering moving towards a desktop kind of setup. It's very interesting and I'm very excited for it, but I feel like the AirPods is what's going to really draw in my attention this year because I don't know why. I have a really, really strong feeling it's going to be a really big change. I feel like we're going to see something really different this year and I'm kind of really here for it.
AirPods are one of the most popular items now, so it's very highly anticipated. I actually need a new pair of regular AirPods. I use AirPods Pro, but I don't know what happened. I lost my regular AirPods like in the last 6 months. I have no idea where they are.
Really?
Literally, where could they be? No idea. So I'm kind of in need of a new pair. It will be interesting to see if they do the same like one size fits all approach or if they change to more so like the custom ear tips. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that Darsh was saying about the speed is definitely confirmed by Greg from Apple, his post. He says, unleashed, the next 6 days are going to speed by. So They're definitely leaning into it. And I think with M1, not only does it make the device faster, but it also massively improves battery life. I use a 16-inch MacBook Pro. I actually bought it, like I would say, 8 months ago. So it's the Intel version. I love it, but one of my main gripes with it is that the battery life is okay, but it's not phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm editing a video, I have to be plugged in. I also have used an M1 Mac before and found the battery life was significantly better. So fingers crossed that it actually makes a huge difference. And I think that would be great for students and creatives as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. So some of the things actually that I feel like creators are going to be very excited about. So there is a lot of anticipated features and kind of just some old features, I guess, that they're trying to bring back to the MacBooks that are being rumored heavily. So for one of which is actually MagSafe charging. They want to bring that back to the Mac and I am absolutely here for it. They brought it to the iPhone. That was probably one of my biggest requests that I've always wanted for the iPhone. I've always loved MagSafe. I don't know, Jacqueline, if you remember this, when the Lightning port came out, there was like this attachment or this accessory you could buy that was like a little Lightning mail connector that goes in. It was connected to a wire and that wire was magnetic. So you literally just MagSafe in your phone to charge it, which I feel like that should have been what they did with MagSafe, but maybe I'm just kind of grasping for something that would never happen. Regardless though, they're looking at MagSafe charging coming back as well as an actual full-size HDMI port and an SD card slot. Please bring back the SD card slot, Apple. Like, that's all I've ever wanted. The dongles drive me crazy. It is the worst thing ever to have to carry a dongle for an SD card slot. It sucks.
I personally hate that as well. I get that Thunderbolt and USB Type-C is the future, but SD card slots are not going anywhere anytime soon, and it would be nice to have it, especially because it's a pro computer. That's like the only main port that I miss, though. I don't really miss HDMI. Like, it's nice, and it's annoying presentations to have to use an adapter, but SD card slot is the one that like genuinely affects me on a daily basis.
See, the thing that I miss about the HDMI port is this. So like if you buy a 4K monitor, for example, most dongles will not take 4K 60. If you have a monitor and you want to use it in 4K, odds are that you actually won't be able to if you have an adapter. You have to buy a USB-C to like DisplayPort or USB-C to HDMI. And it's actually very hard to find one that works well carrying 4K signal. So like I had that issue because I recently bought a 4K monitor during the summer and I was trying to figure out a way to set it up. And both the dongles that I had readily available did not work to actually transfer 4K 60 to the display.
Wow.
So I had to buy a DisplayPort to USB-C cable literally just for that. So that's why I'm very excited about HDMI, because as screens do progress and as technology has advanced and HD quality is going to be left in the past, going to be 4K moving forward, I'm definitely very excited. And I think that having an HDMI slot back on the computer or some kind of native DisplayPort on the computer would be very, very beneficial, especially as we all start transitioning towards more 4K, 8K, maybe even like 10K monitors moving forward. But that's just me, at least. That's what I've noticed with my computer and then the adapters that I've been using.
I can see that. And I think that's going to be like a change that a lot of creators would be pumped about. When I think about like which one creators are going to buy, 14-inch or 16-inch, I can kind of see a lot of creators buying the 14 if the processor is the same and if they allow dedicated graphics. What do you think?
Oh, I think absolutely. One of the biggest things I feel that a lot of creators tend to like push a lot, it was shown very well when the iPad Pro came out because they were trying to show how powerful it could be. And there's actually a handful of creators that actually switched their entire workflow from a MacBook to their iPads because of the capabilities and the processing power on the iPad and just how small it was. Kanoopsy switched over for a bit. He does like all of his stuff on there. I don't know if he edits on there anymore, but I know he's done it before. TLD Today, like Jonathan Morrison, he did the same thing. He edited a full video on his iPad. I think even Everyday Dad, he also did it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
My thoughts are that I feel like 14-inch is going to be the way to go this time around. Maybe just because it's closer to 15. It's as close to 15 as it is to 13. But 16 is just so big, I feel like a lot of people wouldn't want to get it. And if it's Apple, knowing Apple, they're going to make this screen, I feel like they're going to slim down the bezels quite a bit. And that's how they're going to get the 14-inch. So I think that's going to be one of their biggest selling points. It'll be a bigger screen in the same size body, if not smaller, which wouldn't surprise me at all.
I totally agree. I ended up getting the 16-inch this year because I wanted the dedicated graphics. And also I edit a lot like in laptop mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I like often script write in laptop mode. But I feel like for a lot of creators, let's say you're like a travel YouTuber, I wouldn't get the 16, but it just so happens that I do a lot of work at like a coffee shop or my house or the office, like in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
But just to do a not subtle transition at all and switch a little bit to another Apple topic, Apple Watch Series 7 embargo lifted today, October 13th. By the time you guys are listening to it, I have it on my wrist. But Darsh, I wanted to see what you thought about the Series 7 and also just Apple's approach of like having the embargo lift 2 days before everyone gets it in their hand, like launch day.
Well, I mean, okay, so that makes huge sense. Dropping it 2 days before the actual, it's kind of trying to keep relevance, if that makes sense. Like iPhone Day was, what, September 24th?
Yeah.
That had a ton of attention for a solid 2 weeks. Now we're looking at it and it's like, okay, it's been 3 weeks since that phone came out. Now there's not as much attention on the Apple ecosystem. Okay, let's keep the embargo 2 days before the Apple Watch comes out so that it brings it to people's attention again. And also it's right before it comes out. So if people decide they actually wanted to buy it and they're considering it, they'll be able to Google it and check it out 2 days prior so they know if they have to wait in line or not.
Totally.
Which makes sense. The Apple Watch Series 7, though, as a whole, I think that it was a very incremental upgrade this year. I didn't feel like it brought enough real change for anyone with the Series 6 to actually feel like they needed to get a new one. At that point, it's better off to wait for the Series 8. But the Series 7, for anyone who has a Series like 4 or older, I think that it is going to be a very, very big reason to switch because it's a pretty big change for the older models. But Series 5, Series 6, I think they're probably better waiting out until the 7. But I also haven't used the watch itself, so I'm not as versed in it, so I can't speak to that.
I think you're right, though, about the launch strategy. For the iPhone video, I actually had a friend that was like in Chicago. They were saying that the stores were packed like on launch day. I was like, dude, why? Like literally you could just order it online.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right that a lot of people make the decision in the 1 to 2 days before launch after seeing the videos. And it's a recent thing that Apple's been doing, but now they've been doing it in almost every product category. So it's definitely working.
No, exactly. So very, very smart idea on Apple. I actually didn't even know the Apple Watch wasn't out yet. And so that made it that much more, I guess, valuable to me. But I guess that's the thing, right? As new things come out, as new features come out for different products, people are going to have it falling in the back burner and they're not going to fully remember about it. So I guess bringing it up again is very useful. But one of the things actually, and one of the cool features that a lot of people are looking forward to outside of the watch space isn't within the podcasting space. The next big thing in the podcasting space is going to be talking back. pretty much giving an audience the opportunity to actually converse better or chat, kind of just interact with that podcast more than they could before. Jacqueline, do you want to talk a little bit more about this?
Yeah, sure. Podcasting notoriously for years is like a very, very one-sided relationship where it's like the listener listens and the podcaster talks, and then there's no further interaction within the podcast space. Like, you would have to actively seek out the podcaster on another platform in order to talk to them, which is really different than YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, where a creator posts and then you can interact with them in the comment section. Podcasting is like you put it out into the world and you don't really get direct feedback, which on one hand is great because it means that if you're like a huge podcast, let's say, maybe you don't have to deal with the same level of hate. Like if you're the number one podcaster in the world, you probably are getting like less hate than the number one YouTuber in the world, or less direct feedback on your craft, which maybe is good for your mental health. But also it means that, first of all, you feel like a less intimate connection with the people listening. And then also you can't really get direct feedback on what you're doing well and what you're not doing well. So I think it takes longer to find like a proper good format because people have to really, really, really want to tell you how they feel to go the next step and interact somewhere else. Spotify is trying to change that, and Facebook as well. And basically, they're looking at ways to create polls and Q&As and comment sections to make podcasting more interactive. So Facebook is kind of going the approach of YouTube with just leave a comment type of thing. Spotify is giving people that use Anchor the ability to make polls and Q&As and test out like interactive ads. That seems like a pretty big deal for even advertising. Like maybe the ads will have a better conversion rate, but then also like for polls, for example, Darsh and I have been really toying with the idea of starting a subscription podcast where it's a monthly episode from us that talks about the business and tech and things that don't necessarily make it to the show. What would be really helpful for us right now is to do a poll and be like, would you want to do this? Would you subscribe? The poll feature could be used in that way. It could also be used to be like, do you like guests that are more business or more tech? Like podcasters can use it to kind of gauge what their audience is about. But I think the thing that will actually change the game and take it one step further, discussion groups. So Darsh, you could pop in here whenever you want, but in school, like one of my favorite things was the fact that when you were like reading a book, you'd read it in a book club. So like if an insane scene happened, you could talk about it with other people. Now, when I read a book, I'm reading it alone. So like I don't have anyone to talk to about it. Same thing with a podcast. Like if I listen to a really transformational podcast, I feel really changed by it and I want to talk to other people that have also listened to it. Certain apps are going to start facilitating discussion groups so people can do that.
That I feel like would be really, really cool. Being able to sit down with people or like even through like a virtual means, right? Like being able to sit down with someone and talk about the topics that you are most interested in, I feel like it's something that can honestly bring a lot of, I guess, just more admiration for whatever you're talking about. Like I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday. He's very, very into philosophy. And he was telling me, he's like, sorry, man, like I'm talking about this so much. It's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And I don't know too many people who I can chat with about it. Mm-hmm. But I can only imagine that if podcasts had this ability to like sit down with other people and like other listeners and have these circles or discussion groups where you can chat about the concepts together outside of it, I feel like it would open up a whole new world for people who are finding different things of interest that don't have a lot of people to talk to about it. Like I know, Jacqueline, you and me are prime examples of this with tech. Like both of us within our friend circles, within our lives, like we don't talk about tech with too many people in our everyday social circle.
Yeah.
I know for me, at least, like finding you as a friend online and making friends with everyone who I've met through the space, like it's been very nice to be able to talk about tech in such a way where like people can understand what I'm talking about.
Totally.
When I say 128 hertz display, it's not, oh, wow, that's more HD. It's, wow, that's a really fast refresh rate. Like it's a huge difference. Something like this, I feel like could be so beneficial for people like that. And I really hope they bring it to podcasting apps here. Honestly, I would sit in and join like the discussion group while like listening to one of our episodes. And I'd want to like pitch in a conversation like, oh yeah, like we wanted to talk about this too. Wanted to go a little bit further. We're running short on time, whatever it may be. So it's definitely, I think, a really, really good idea. I would love to see it.
We talked about this a bit last episode, but engagement-based algorithms kind of make it so everyone gets personalized content, which is great. But then you could also often feel like isolated in the fact that your interests are so different. And what Darsh is saying is true. Like before I started my YouTube channel, I knew literally no one that was interested in tech. And then I met a ton of people that were interested in tech. So I think that will be really nice for people to kind of make connections with other people interested in the same niche. Give them the ability basically to interact with people about one particular topic. And also like Darsh and I talk about this a lot in relation to our jobs. If we're asking each other for advice on something with YouTube, we're like, thank God we have each other because no one really understands the space and it's such a new job. You can't just ask any random person for advice. And I think the same thing is true for podcasting. I listen to a lot of self-help based podcasts and I learn a lot from them. Maybe that's like too heavy of a topic for some people to listen to. It would be great if they're able to facilitate that. That's not what Spotify is doing though. Spotify is just doing the polls. But I think it was in China, there was a platform that's doing it. So there's potential for it to expand.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like at this point, it's very much like they have to test it and see that if interacting with a podcast is something that this market would appreciate more. And if they find it to work, then I imagine at that point, they would start expanding and bringing in new features and new ways to do so. I mean, like a podcast subscription already seems like a very good way to get to know your audience a little bit better, giving them an opportunity to, you know, get to know the hosts like a lot better and a more personal level. That's a stride in a good direction and in the right direction, in my opinion. I feel like podcasting is, it's the new form of radio. You want to get to know who you're talking to. And like, at least on radio shows, right? You can call in and chat with the hosts. You can get to know them a little bit better. You hear more of their personality. So I feel like stuff like this, where you can actually interact with the host, interact with your audience as a host. I don't know. For me, it just seems like a no-brainer. I absolutely love the idea.
And I think podcasting, in terms of like how intimate your audience feels with you, podcasting can often lead to a more intimate relationship because you're listening to someone for like 40 minutes. But YouTube can often lead to a more intimate relationship because of the comment section.
This is true.
As Spotify tries to become like more of a social media platform rather than just like a passive platform, bringing a comment section will also be like vital to making that happen.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a huge thing.
On that note, the real way to give us your comments is to leave a rating. So Darsh and I, this is like such a shameless plug, but Darsh and I have set a goal for 150 ratings by the end of the year. Basically, if you guys didn't know, the only way to grow a podcast is to have people rate it and then also people recommend it to other people. There's no search algorithm, so it's basically impossible to grow an audience if you don't have those two things. So if you guys want to help Darsh and I out and have the podcast continue, please leave us a rating. We're going to go get a quick coffee. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about a new Twitter feature that is like kind of helpful for tweet threads, but also really not. And then the HTC Vivo Pro leaks, because HTC may be back in the game a bit. All right, everyone, welcome back from the break. Darsh and I actually just like talked off pod for like 20 minutes, but we're back now and we want to talk about the HTC Vivo leaks, because HTC is really not doing that much in the smartphone space, but they have been doing stuff in the VR space, and this is another one.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I have been a huge fan of HTC for a very long time. Seeing them shut down their phone line was honestly very disheartening for me, because that's what got me into tech in the first place. The HTC One M7, we'll always remember you, buddy. It's a great phone. Love that phone. Anyway, so pretty much HTC has been looking to get into the VR space for a while. Like, HTC Vive was a very popular attraction for many people who are interested in the virtual reality space. Now, there is currently a leak for a HTC Vive Flow VR headset that's supposed to be announced very soon. Now, by the time you guys hear this, it should already be announced. So it'll be interesting to see if we're able to get these leaks right. From everything that's pretty much been introduced to us, Jack, and I don't know if you saw the pictures, it pretty much makes you look like a bug.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, so pretty much what it is, it looks like a very big pair of glasses almost. So it's pretty much a set of goggles that are supposed to work to offer you like a full virtual reality experience. And there's even pictures of the glasses like connected to your phone. So it's looking like it's going to be more of a mobile kind of virtual reality experience, something that you can do on the go. You can take with you. You don't have to have a battery pack or any of the sensors set up to make it work, which is actually pretty interesting. And then on top of all of that, again, it pretty much has these like huge reflective, like shield looking, stainless steel looking kind of front panels, I believe are supposed to block out the light. And then you'll have like your glasses, and it sits on your face like a normal set of glasses, just they're very thick. I'm honestly very excited for it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I would love to check them out. They seem, from all the press images that have kind of been leaked, it seems as though like this is where HTC plans on going moving forward. It seems like they're more focused towards creating headsets that are going to be a lot more user-friendly and more, I guess, mainstream than what they were doing before, where I feel like that was very much more niche down within that industry.
Do we know anything about like the quality? Because I feel like that's something with VR that I haven't been super stoked about. Like, it looks pretty low res when it's on your face.
That's the thing. That's what I usually used to think. And then, so funny enough, this is a little bit of a side story. I was visiting Montreal a couple weekends ago. I think it was right before school started for me. So like end of August.
Okay.
So I guess over a month now. And so we pretty much went to Montreal, and my friends and I thought it'd be a cool idea to go to a virtual reality and an augmented reality art exhibit in downtown Montreal. We go, and they had these Oculus, like basic Oculus goggles, Oculus Go. They had them on our face, and we were watching like movies. These were like properly produced 360 VR films, like short films that they had produced. And I was watching one. It was actually taken and filmed in the International Space Station. I kid you not, the quality of that VR headset blew my mind.
Really?
Like, I haven't seen something like that before. Like, I've never seen something that high res. Like, I felt to some degree like I was actually there with the headphones on, and with, they had ATH M50Xs on your ears. So like you were hearing like perfect crystal clear audio. And then you had these goggles on your face, and you're just watching, and you're fully immersed in it. Like, it was a beautiful sight. You saw like scenery from space. You saw the International Space Station. The audio was crisp. It was just beautiful. So I can imagine that if someone were able to replicate that into something that HTC is doing, which I have no doubt about because of how far like screen technology has come in the past couple of years, I genuinely think this could be very, very cool. And the fact that it seems very portable as well and very without restraints, it's going to be pretty cool to see. We won't know for sure. Apparently pre-order starts this week, October 15th. So by the time you guys see this, if you
guys— That's Friday.
And the shipments are going to start early November. So I'm hoping to get myself hands-on with this. This would be a very, very cool product to talk about because VR, I feel like, is very much the future. Jacqueline, I've been talking quite a bit, but like, did you hear about like HTC? I think it was like February they had announced VR, like a mixed reality headset that they wanted to come out with, and they had it in like theory.
No, I did not hear that. An AR type based headset?
Yeah, so pretty much it'd be mixed reality. So it'd be like a mixture of virtual reality and augmented reality.
That's sick.
I feel like that's more where the future is taking us. Like, virtual reality is a great idea. I think that for like movies and stuff like that moving forward, that could be the way to really immerse someone in it. Whether or not you're doing 360 or you're doing 180 degrees, which I feel like 180 makes more sense, but 180 degree like film that you're like fully immersed in, you're like sitting there and you can watch it while it's like sitting on your face. I feel like that's really going to be the future. But when it comes to like just general wearing glasses on a daily basis, mixed reality seems like that's kind of the way to go.
Totally.
Imagine your phone on your face, right? Like, you have a normal augmented reality setup for when you get notifications, for when you're listening to music. But then when you're trying to watch a movie or you're trying to watch TV or you're trying to watch a video on your phone, instead of watching it like with your phone in your hand in like this 2D almost element, you're watching it in like proper virtual reality or proper immersive experience.
Popular opinion here, but I get kind of nauseated from like the VR experience. Like, I definitely like normal TVs versus like having the actual movie play in front of my face.
That's fair.
I mean, the technology will probably improve and it will get better. But yeah, I also wonder like what the repercussions will be like for our eyesight, like having blue light that close to our eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I wonder if anyone is actually considering that or if they're just like profit first, like making these.
I feel like if we've learned anything from the Facebook whistleblower case, I feel like a lot of companies are very much more profit centric.
Valid. Unfortunately, yeah.
Exactly. So the headset that they've actually been leaking and that's been leaked by a reputable source, EvLeaks, the new headset's pretty much resembling very closely to that of HTC's Project Proton, which is the mixed reality device I was talking about. They revealed that at the beginning of 2020, actually. That's why you probably don't remember it. And it had a very similar design and it had a possibility of being tethered to a pack, but it seems like this might be more of like an evolution of that Project Proton, and it's going to be more of something that's going to actually be in consumers' hands, especially with stuff like the Ray-Ban Stories coming out. By the way, Jacqueline, amazing video on that. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that video is just not performing well at all.
Honestly, it's a very niche product that not a lot of people I know about.
Yeah.
Like, I actually was wearing them the other day and I asked my friends, like, can you tell this is a camera? He's like, I couldn't tell until you told me.
Yeah, and people hate Facebook, so a lot of people wouldn't even consider buying them. So I feel like if you make a review on it, because people already hate Facebook, if I leaned into like a very negative title, it might have gotten more clicks and like a more neutral, like, let me review this. But then the video is pretty negative. I feel like people either want their beliefs reinforced or I would have to do like a super sensational, like, you should buy these, because then people would click on it for that too. So your friend didn't realize that there were cameras.
They didn't realize there were cameras. And then another friend of mine had pointed out, I was like, oh, wasn't like Kylie Jenner wearing those in like a Facebook or Instagram story or something like that? And I was like, so that's how people see it. It's very much like a low-key product that no one knew was out yet. With something like that, that's very low-key, especially with Facebook being Facebook, like, people are more concerned and less likely to actually go purchase it because of Facebook. I feel as though HTC has a leg up here because it's HTC.
I agree with you. I think Facebook just is not in the right space to create a product like this that has cameras. Like, I just don't think that was the best move. And that's why they really heavily leaned into the Ray-Ban branding. But HTC, I think, has, like you're saying, more of a neutral reputation. Mm-hmm. I don't know one way or another how good they are with privacy. So that will give them a bit of a leg up. But to me, I'm much more excited to see AR stuff than VR stuff. Like, I think augmented reality is really cool. But this is still, like, I think for gamers, this will be a really cool product.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited for this for gamers. And like, just the way you'll be able to interact with new media, I feel like would be honestly insane. But speaking of new media, Twitter is considered new media, and Twitter has a very, very interesting new feature set that they plan to introduce, and it's actually currently in a testing stage. I actually read about this on Front Page Tech. It was John Prosser, and he was, let's just say, less than kind about what this feature is servicing. So pretty much, Jack, I don't know if you saw this new feature where you're pretty much going to be offered like a pop-up, or it's going to be something like a little notification at the bottom of a thread, or the top of a thread, sorry, giving you either one, a heads-up prompt warning you that the conversation could get intense, or two, let's look out for each other prompt, asking users to be more empathetic and act more human when responding to different forums. I wanted to actually, Jacqueline, like, your thoughts on this. I guess in a general sense, do you think that social media platforms like this should have these kind of reminders, or do you think that should just be common human decency at this point to just understand when and where to be good? And on top of that, do you think that should even have a say, like, Twitter should even be doing something like this, because the whole point of Twitter is to be a full open discussion?
It's kind of dicey, because it's like, then in a way, they're moderating what's like good and what's bad. Like, only certain topics will have this heads up this is a heated discussion, right? So it's up to Twitter to decide which topics are deserving of that. That could become a little problematic. On the other hand, I think that Twitter is awesome when you're in your little like niche. Like I love interacting with people that follow me, but the second you get outside of that, it's like pretty much a toxic place. Like there are countless things that trend every day of like people getting canceled or someone's nudes have leaked or just like things that aren't a net positive to society generally. Sometimes the cancellation things are good because it's like terrible people, but a lot of the time it's like just random like weird stuff that gets trending. And then oftentimes like there are bots and really heated discussions about maybe like controversial topics like politics, for example. So maybe the heads up thing will help, but I also feel like if someone is going on Twitter with the intention of trying to change someone's perspective on politics or like get their point across, seeing a little thing that says heads up is not gonna be it.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like a bull with a red flag, right? Like all they see is red.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy.
No, like literally like going on Twitter sometimes is literally like that with some people. You'll go onto Twitter and some people will just see red and they'll see a conversation topic or they'll see a thread and they're like, I strongly disagree with this. And they're going to just list out every single reason why. And they kind of, I feel as though sometimes will go a lot more harsh towards the person who had actually written that tweet. And I feel like that's part of the reason why Twitter can be so controversial and toxic sometimes as well. Like you'd mentioned, like in some spaces on Twitter, like you go on and you realize you find yourself kind of stuck in this weird in between where people are just yelling at you for just having an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Emma Chamberlain, who's like one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, deleted her Twitter actually because she found that it was like the most toxic social media platform out of all of them. And she was saying that every day she would like see tweets like talking about her or her relationships or why is she even famous, even though like, she's incredibly talented, or canceling her for like random stuff like, oh my God, she eats only healthy food, like whatever it may be, like people just kind of going at her and not in a constructive way. It's because Twitter is like a platform where people like there are threads and people interact. Whereas like on Instagram, for example, oftentimes like you post something and there's a comment section, but on Twitter, it's literally only talking is like the primary form of communication. It's like a giant group chat in a way. So sometimes it lends itself to being a bit more toxic. I think it's cool that Twitter is trying to lower that toxicity. And I think maybe if it was like before you went on the thread, like maybe you don't want to do this. Like maybe that could be cool. But I also think maybe that would be a bit of an overstep. So it was kind of like, I don't know if you remember the Starship, but do you remember when they did the thing where like if you tried to retweet an article that you hadn't read yet, they were like, maybe you should read the article.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's kind of like that, where it's like they're trying to cut down on misinformation and also these toxic discussions, but they also have to find the fine line of where it doesn't make the service annoying to use. Because I think they also know a lot of the reason why people are on the service is for these toxic conversations. And if they get rid of them, maybe their user base would go down.
It's absurd because at this point, it's coming to a halt. Like we're seeing that there's a lot more moderation on social media. And that's to partially help a lot of, we talked about this last week with the entire Facebook whistleblower case. Like, there are a lot of kids on social media who kind of get caught in this entire like world of toxic, I guess, conversation and misinformation as a whole. I understand why Twitter would want to do something like this, especially with the Facebook case going on right now. They want to kind of cover their own end as well to make sure that people understand like the actual what's going on. But my real question and curious, like, I understand this is probably going to be an AI. It's going to be a bot that's going to be filtering this stuff. What about the stuff that they don't filter? What about the stuff if they overfilter? What if a conversation, someone ends up using a lot of exclamation points and that's where it says it's a heated conversation?
Yeah.
What if it misdiagnoses the entire thread? What if it puts people off from having that open forum, having that open discussion that like they go to Twitter for?
I think that, and I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that it works by looking for words. So for example, COVID-19, I think is one of them. So I don't know if it would just be looking at like the way you're talking. Maybe it would, but I think it's more so like they are going to pick certain topics and be like, hey, these are controversial. And I could see that being an issue if like a medical health provider is trying to talk about something and then it gets flagged.
Yeah.
Versus like a random person like peddling misinformation. Those are very different things, but if the algorithm can't tell the difference, it will be problematic.
At some point, there's going to be like a line that we have to cross and we have to figure out like whether or not this is going to be something that I'm actually kind of worried about how most of Twitter will actually respond to this. Like, I feel like I have a very mild response to it. I don't really care. If they do that, that's fine. They're not really obstructing me from doing anything if they're just giving me a heads up. So I'm personally okay with it, but I can imagine with the amount of backlash that some people get on Twitter for saying one wrong word, this could be a whole thing.
I guess we'll see. It's definitely borderline. Could be something cool, could be something not cool, but something that is very cool is the new MKBHD times Moment watch collab. Ooh. And that is the first thing that I liked this week.
I saw that. That looks sick. That looked so cool.
Dude, Moment is like crushing it with like these creator collabs.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if you're going to buy a watch drop that's third party, you're going to want to buy it from Marquez.
Totally.
You're going to want the Marquez stamp of approval on it. that. Like when I'm buying an Apple Watch strap, I tend to go towards something that I can trust. Watch straps tend to wear out very easily and something you wear all the time. So I'd want to get something that's good. So I'd probably go towards more something Apple or something that probably Marquez recommended, to be fully honest with you there.
I mean, 100%, yeah. It's so cool when companies like see creators and the fact that they're able to push products, but also like have a hand in how the products work. Mm-hmm. When you get a creator involved in a product, it just sells infinitely more than if you did it yourself. So it's awesome that Moment is doing these collaborations. I don't know if you saw, but they also released a shirt that was like 30 frames per second over 24 just for Marquez.
I think that's really cool. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had the other one 24 to 30 and Marquez is like, no. And then they released like a special matte black edition that had the other thing. So I feel like it's cool when companies have a pulse on the creator economy. But that's my first one. What's your first one for this week?
Okay, so my first one is a show that I actually ended up finishing binging today despite myself trying to control my obsession. The issue is with TV shows with me, and I'm gonna be very honest, I get very obsessive about it very quickly and it's all I want to watch, especially when I find it as like something super interesting. So I started watching this show on Netflix. It showed up as like a top 10 show and I had seen it, I think, once or twice, and I was just very confused. Like, it started playing the trailer. It's called The Prodigal Son.
Okay.
It's very interesting. It's a very heavy show, I'm not going to lie. Talks about a lot of very, not mature subject matter, but it's definitely not a very child-friendly show. It's about a serial killer's son.
Oh my gosh.
And so pretty much it's about like the trauma that like his dad had left on him when he got arrested. He eventually goes on to become a profiler for the NYPD. And the story is about him battling his trauma while also like trying to figure out like his father's place in his life, as well as figuring out who he is as a person, trying to find like a difference between him and his father. His father's like a serial killer. He's also like loaded. So it's like this very interesting story. It gets very psychological, and I kind of really like psychology and learning about it. So I found the show to be very interesting to me. I watched both seasons in approximately 3 days.
Damn, that's commitment.
20 episodes first season, 13 episodes second season. It was a huge cliffhanger and they did not renew the show for a third season. I'm hoping Netflix picks it up because it's trending really, really hard right now there. So I'm assuming that they probably will get involved at some point. So that's my one of my stuff I like this week, Prodigal Son on Netflix. Go check it out. I absolutely loved it.
That's a good one. I always love your Netflix recommendations, so I will have to check that out. My next one for this week is, obviously it's October. We're finally in the throes of holiday season. It was just Thanksgiving actually in Canada for Darsh. I've been decorating the studio for the October theme. So mine for this week is just like all like the pumpkin and like Thanksgiving type props that I've gotten over the last week. And I posted a picture on Twitter. So if you guys are listening and you want to see it, you should check out my Twitter.
Definitely will have to check out your Twitter. I've been getting very into like the fall season again. Like I'm starting to plan out my fall fits. Like I'm having more fun with it. It's definitely a very exciting time. I know for myself, I don't usually start drinking hazelnut lattes until like the fall hits.
Interesting.
I started making some at home. I made one today. I was very happy with it. I bought actually the same syrups that they have at Starbucks.
No way. Where'd you find that?
They're on like Amazon.
Wow.
I think it's called Torani or something like that. Torani. I'm never going to tweet out a picture of the brand because I love it so much. And I bought like three bottles. I have like hazelnut, vanilla, and caramel.
I'm going to definitely have to check that out. I've been drinking their pumpkin spice lattes for like the past month now.
What were your thoughts on the pumpkin cream cold brew?
So freaking good. Oh my God. Yes.
Fantastic, right?
Everything about it is like perfect.
Next time, try it with a shot of espresso.
Ooh, okay. I will do that. Yeah, dude, I actually get it modified without any, you know, like the included shots that make it sweet.
Yeah.
I don't even get it with those. So I bet espresso would add it to a different level. I'm going to have to try that.
It's so good. I absolutely love it. That was like what I do in the morning. Sometimes I just go to Starbucks and get that when like October hit. So I definitely, definitely recommend it. It's a very, very good one. But actually, that was not the stuff I liked this week. Well, I do like coffee, of course, as always.
Yeah, of course. Got to be on brand. But what's one that you like this week? Something else?
My feature of media that I wanted to share with the audience this week was actually an artist called Dave, a UK-based rapper. I just like one of my friends had recommended one of his songs called Location. It was apparently a very popular song for a couple of years. I never heard it. And then I started listening to his most recent album and like I absolutely fell in love with what he was talking about in his message. He's a very real and genuine person and he's talking a lot about like issues that like go on in the UK and around the world. And he talks a lot about very heavy subject matter and he's like very, very well with his words. So like his songs and his music is very much telling a story. And I really appreciate that, especially when I'm like genuinely sitting down trying to listen to a song. It's not very like top chartsy. It's more deep and I don't know. I really liked it. Go check him out. His name is Dave. Great artist.
Does he sing with an accent?
Oh no, you can hear he's a rapper, so like you can hear his UK accent pretty well.
Oh, okay.
I'm also a fan of Stormzy. He's another UK rapper, but he blew up more in North America in the past year or so. And so I started listening to him and immediately gave me Stormzy vibe, but just a lot more like deep and bring up more proper subject matter. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, oh my God, wait. It's so funny. I heard Dave's song Screwface Capital. I didn't realize it was him, but I just looked it up now. So I also like him. So I'll kind of piggyback off you and say that's the other thing I like this week. It was featured in a TikTok TikTok that went pretty viral.
Oh, I actually haven't heard this song.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I would recommend. That's my last one for this week as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. I think I got one more.
Yeah, go for it.
Just a single more that I would love to share. Fleabag by Youngblood. I don't know what it is. I've been getting really into like rock as of late, and I really like the song. I've been listening to it on repeat for like the last week.
Check it out. On that note, we're actually going to end the episode so you can check it out. Thank you guys so much for listening to this one. If you want to interact with us, you should follow us on Twitter, actually, at Digital Dive Pod, because we've been posting like tech news and talking with people, etc. And also, if you haven't followed the podcast yet, but you're at this point in the episode, probably means you liked it. So definitely hit the follow button. It truly helps us, and it helps you like get the episode sooner. Thank you so much to Luke Fabricatori for editing this episode. Thank you so much to Adil Constantine for the incredible intro and outro music. And thank you to you for listening to this episode.
Thank you guys so much again for listening to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, as always, check out our socials, all linked down below. But if you're going to do anything that we said this episode, make sure to drop that goal and help us hit that goal for the podcast with 150 ratings by the end of the year. Remember, guys, we're going to hit this goal. We're going to do a live chat with all the Digital Live listeners at the end of the year to answer some questions, have a nice Q&A, and of course to chat with you guys. We would absolutely love to do so. So definitely let us know if you guys are interested in that. Thank you guys so much for listening once again. We'll catch you guys next week, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern.